Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, Pharmacist Eric Christensen, and I thank you so much for listening today. If you are looking for a free 31-page PDF, definitely go check out reallifepharmacology.com. It's a top 200 study guide where I lay out the most important and relevant clinical pearls, as well as those things that come up on pharmacology exams on a regular basis there. So definitely go take advantage of that free resource simply for subscribing. We'll send you updates as to when we've got new podcasts available and new content as well. All right, so the drug of the day today is scopolamine, and specifically transdermal scopolamine. Now, this is classified as an anticholinergic medication, and its primary use is the prevention of nausea and vomiting, and that could be due to a couple of reasons. The most common reason I've seen this medication used in clinical practice is for motion sickness, but it can also be used for nausea and vomiting associated with anesthesia or general surgery. Now, how does this medication work? Again, being an anticholinergic medication, it's going to block muscarinic receptors, possibly also has some antihistamine type activity, and it's going to block the action of acetylcholine, which can ultimately cause some drying up of secretions, slow down the gut, and potentially provide some relief for nausea and vomiting, which is what we're going to primarily use this medication for. Adverse effect profile. So let's talk about this a little bit, because this gives me the perfect example of explaining the prescribing cascade. So adverse effects, knowing that it's an anticholinergic medication, what you're going to see is dry mouth, dry eyes, potentially constipation, and urinary retention. In addition, there might be some sedation, confusion, fall risk. That's more so probably in our geriatric population. So let's talk about that prescribing cascade. So when I know that a patient is on an anticholinergic medication, I look out for medications that can manage some of the adverse effects. So for instance, dry mouth. If I see a patient taking a saliva substitute or potentially a drug like pilocarpine, those are instances where I am looking out for anticholinergic medications like scopolamine and looking to see if a patient is taking some of them. Dry eyes, for example, you may see artificial tears or a medication like Restasis being used. Urinary retention, you might see BPH-type medications like tamsulosin or maybe a finasteride in males. And then constipation, of course. So if you see, you know, Miralax or Senna or some of those medications being utilized, keep an eye out for anticholinergic medications like scopolamine being on board. I also wanted to mention that transdermal scopolamine is a part of the Beers criteria as a potentially inappropriate medication to be used in the elderly. So definitely in the majority of situations, we want to avoid this medication in our geriatric patients. All right, so pharmacokinetics. I think it's important to recognize when we use transdermal administration of medications, this can lead to a much, much slower onset of action than if we were to, you know, take it orally or by injection, of course. So because of that, because we're likely to anticipate a slower onset of action, This means that as-needed use of transdermal scopolamine is probably not going to be the greatest thing ever, okay? So if a patient's experiencing nausea and vomiting right now due to motion sickness, it probably doesn't make a lot of sense to give transdermal scopolamine to alleviate those acute symptoms. Now, why is that? It takes a bit of time for that drug to cross the skin tissue and get into systemic circulation. So for transdermal scopolamine, it's recommended to give it at least 4 hours before exposure or before anticipated exposure to a situation that's going to lead to nausea and vomiting, so such as motion sickness and or general anesthesia or surgery, which I mentioned before there. So the onset of action is going to be in the range of probably 6 to 8 hours. So we want to make sure we get that patch on in time prior to the exposure of the vent. So getting that patch placed, 4 to 6 hours probably prior to the exposure there. All right, so that's going to wrap up our first section. We'll take a quick break from our sponsor, and we'll finish up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, like NAPLEX, BCPS, ambulatory care, medication therapy management, or geriatrics, definitely go check out meded101.com/store. We've got a growing list of testimonials and customers, and we've been putting together study materials for years now at this point, and I think doing a good job of preparing candidates to actually pass their exam. So go check that out. In addition, if you're a nurse, physician, any other healthcare professional, definitely go check out our list of Amazon books, Audible books, and you can find all those links at meded101.com/store, STORE. All right, so let's finish up drug interactions. But I did want to mention with drug interactions, we've got that Audible book that you can get for absolutely free if you've never tried Audible. So go check that out. That link is at meded101.com/store. And again, if you've never had an Audible book, we've got a link to get your first one for free. And I've got a 10-hour book on drug interactions, talking about clinical significance and a lot of common things that you see in clinical practice. So go check that out. On transdermal scopolamine, thinking about drug interactions, we don't have any issues with absorption and things like that through the gut. So that's a nice thing that we don't have to worry about with a transdermal type medication. However, it certainly is a systemic medication, so it gets into the bloodstream, of course. And there's really two major interactions I think about that are common. So the first one is really anticholinergic load, sometimes called anticholinergic burden. So if you've got a patient on other anticholinergics, whether that be, older antihistamines, tricyclic antidepressants, those can have additive effects to transdermal scopolamine. So those adverse effects that I mentioned previously might be more likely to occur or have a higher risk or stronger incidence. So your dry mouth, your dry eyes, your constipations, your urinary retention, confusion, those can all impact or have additive effects due to some of those medications that I mentioned. And then, of course, we have CNS depressants. That's an important thing to think about. So whether it's alcohol, opioids, benzodiazepines, the additive sedative effect can be really troublesome for some patients. And again, probably more so in geriatric patients, but it's definitely something we need to look out for there. And then, of course, thinking about opposition type effects. So I mentioned urinary retention as an adverse effect. So it could potentially oppose the benefit of a drug like finasteride or a drug like tamsulosin that's commonly used to manage symptoms of BPH. Same thing with worsening confusion in a dementia patient. It could potentially oppose the beneficial effects of a drug like donepezil, an acetylcholinesterase inhibitor. All right, so I think that's going to wrap up some of the more common drug interactions with transdermal scopolamine. If you enjoyed the podcast today, found it helpful, definitely leave a rating, review on iTunes, share us with a classmate, a colleague, anyone in the healthcare field that may benefit from learning more about medication management and, of course, medication safety. Sign up at reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Nice little study guide there. And I am going to sign off for today. And you can track me down on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCGP, BCPS, or at mededucation101@gmail.com. So signing off for today. Thank you so much for listening. Take care, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.